Today on Real Radio.
Growth does not mean godliness. If this church swelled and was packed and people hanging out the doors, it does not mean it's godly. But we're dumb people. We're sheep. We see all the sheep going this way and we go, let's go. Come on, man. And we move along and we go, what's going on? I don't know, man, but everybody's going. Let's go. And you start bringing and you follow. And look at all the sheep that died following Jim Jones.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul has used some military and other kinds of comparisons to explain what is expected in the life of the believer. In other words, we're in a war while in this world. We're just not of this world. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Separated Soldier.
Now listen, not all church division's bad, people. Sometimes God uses division to weed out the bad stuff. And this is exactly what he did in Numbers 16. And Korah's out there, oh man, you think you're something, you... Who do you think you are? And a radical thing takes place in Numbers 16. Picks up in verse 30, he says, but if the Lord creates a new thing, Moses speaking, and the earth opens up its mouth and swallows them up and all of their belongings, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that God has rejected these men. I guess so. Then it shall come to pass, as Moses was speaking all these words, that the ground began to split open and it parted them. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, the entire household of men with Korah and all of their goods, so that all those with them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up again, and they perished from the congregation. Isn't that radical? God does that today, though he may not use the earth. But he has this foundation. The seal is certain. That God knows in this room those who are his. You know, I don't know. I can look at you and I listen and we have fellowship and I praise the Lord. But in the final end, when the story's written, when we cross that line into yonder heaven, the family of God will be safe of pollution. There are pretenders. There are those who make up an area of deceit in the body. But we who are of the household of faith, we're secure in Christ. He knows us. We're in him. And there's great security in Christ. In John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. He says, my sheep hear. That word hear is to know and to recognize the word of Jesus. Do you recognize his word this morning? Do you understand that? This is precious to me. Not only are we sealed and marked by the love of the Lord our God, but we're in his hands and in Jesus' hands. And we are safe, we're sealed, we're secured, and I don't know how you look at that, but you know, I can see God holding us like this, and he's there, and he takes a peek sometimes and looks in, and we're there, and he's got us, and we've got these little seals on us that he knows, and he looks in, and he goes, I see you guys in there, you know, I can see you, how's it going, man? You're safe in Christ.
Don't forget that. I know you're in the world, but you're going to make it. Everything's fine. I got you in my hand.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You're sealed if you're trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption." We are set in him. We are protected in him. Now, Paul goes on concerning the separated soldier to verse 20. He says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor." Now we enter right here, actually, verses 20 to 23 actually begins a parable of Paul. It's known as a parable of Paul. And do you remember that word from our study in Matthew? What a parable is? Para, alongside, balos, to be casting. Paul is casting alongside the listeners, Timothy, and you and me this morning. He's casting alongside a biblical truth. He takes his pole and drops it right alongside your head. This information, a parable of Paul. He says, "But in a great house," he's referring to the church, "in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold." Praise God that there are godly people in the church. You know, before we came to Jesus Christ, a lot of us said, "I'm one of them. I don't need to go to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites in there." You know what? There are hypocrites in the church, if that's your view this morning. There are hypocrites in the church who hate being a hypocrite. They wake up and they say, "Man, I love the Lord and I want to do good today." And you get up and you start moving for God and you blow it. And if you're going to push it, that falls under the definition of a hypocrite. So you see, a hypocrite is somebody who knows to do good and doesn't do it. And so I'm a hypocrite. I blow it. Do I love it? I hate it. Nobody would rather do good than me in my life. I want to do good. You want to do good. But when you fail, we're hypocrites. Then there are those in the church who are hypocrites. They love it. They love playing church on Sunday and they live like hell 6 days a week. They're hypocrites. So yes, you're right. But there are vessels of gold, those who despise being tarnished. Jesus buffs us up in a trial, gets us all pretty and shiny, turns up the flame maybe of the gold and all the crumminess goes to the top. He skims off the residue and we're real shiny. Have you ever seen gold when it's boiling? It is the most awesome looking thing. It is so beautiful and so shiny when it's molten. After you skim off the junk. But if you're a true Christian this morning, you'll have trials. God will turn up the flame. You will have a hard time in your job or in your home. Why? He's skimming junk off the top. There are vessels of gold. And that's encouraging to me. But he says, in a great house, literally, it's a mansion, in a great mansion who's owned by a man, the owner. There are vessels of gold, silver, wood, and clay. Now, what's he saying here? This is serious. He's basically saying this. The kingdom of heaven, the church, the great house has these things in it. Now, remember Jesus in Matthew and in Luke, he warned us that the kingdom of God, the church, is like a loaf that a woman hid leaven in. Leaven is a symbol of sin. Isn't that weird? The church is going to have sin in it? Yes. Jesus said also, the mustard seed, it began to grow, and it grew into a great tree. Listen, mustard seeds don't grow into trees. He says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grows into a great tree. There's something weird. And let me say this. Growth does not mean godliness. if this church swelled and was packed and people hanging out the doors, it does not mean it's godly. But we're dumb people. We're sheep. We see all the sheep going this way and we go, let's go. Come on, man. And we move along and we go, what's going on? I don't know, man, but everybody's going. Let's go. And you start bringing and you follow. And look at all the sheep that died following Jim Jones. Look at all the sheep that are perishing today, that are hurting and broken. Size doesn't mean anything. In fact, Jesus says, as the mustard seed bush grows into a tree, the birds of the air come and live in it. And the birds are evil. Jesus says so. They come in. They sneak in. And you go, now, wait a minute. I thought the church is supposed to be like a haven. It is a haven to those who are of gold. It is a haven. But wherever God's work is going on, Satan will send in his imposters. He'll send in the birds. And growth does not mean godliness. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says this himself, and it kind of goes against the grain. But we're a lot like Samuel sometimes. We judge according to appearance. Listen to this. In Matthew 13, 24, Jesus says, and another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed in his field. But while men slept, that's his servants, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares appeared also. And so the servants went to the owner, and they came and they said to him, sir, did you sow good seed in your field? He said, of course I did. You bet. And they said, well, how is it that we have tares in the field? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, well, then, do you want us to go and uproot them? And he said, no, least while you uproot them, you uproot the wheat too. Let both grow until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn, our heaven. Listen, you know what a tare is? It's called darnel. Darnel. It looks just like wheat. You can't tell the difference. It grows up side by side. What on earth is Jesus saying? He's saying, Christian in Chino Hills, you better be awake. There's going to be fakers come in. There's going to be churches that are fake. There's going to be pastors that are pretenders. They're players and not prayers. They're not godly, they're gossipers. And they come in and they grow up side by side and they sit with us or they fellowship with us or they come in and out and they say, praise the Lord. And we can't tell. And so we need to be in the Word. We need to be careful. We need to be people who are committed and listening and watching. Do you know what a tare does? Do you know what a darnel does? This blew my mind. He grows up, and he looks just like everybody else. And when it comes harvest time, listen, he starts to take in water. The same water that the wheat is taking in from his roots. He takes in the water, and as it travels up the stem, as the water goes up the stem with the sun and all of the processes taking place, that darnel converts that water into toxins, into poisons. And that darnel sits there, and it's all looking great. And somebody comes in and starts to eat of their doctrine, of their fellowship. Look, they're taking in the Word just like us, the water. But it's how they process it makes all the difference in the world. And the darnel, the pretender, processes it, and they're poison. Their life is poison. This is biblical. But yet we don't want to hear these things. But there are imposters out there that produce poisons. In this great house, he says, there's vessels of gold and vessels of silver. vessels of honor and dishonor. Now, in your Bible, I know the New King James says here that we are actually, I'm getting ahead of myself, that's what I'm actually doing. He says in verse 20, the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. It says this, that there are some that are set aside for, in the original, for taking out the refuge and the garb and the junk and the, and then there are vessels that sit in armoires or whatever those things are called, china cabinet thingies, and you pull them out for special things, for honor and for dishonor. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. Who are you hanging around with? What kind of friends do you have? Are they friends? Are they people that are encouraging you to go on with Jesus Christ? Or when you're around them, do you kind of be stagnant? Or do they pull you back? If you're a vessel of gold, and who in this room this morning wouldn't say, gosh, I mean, I believe I'm a vessel of gold. I love the Lord. I want to be, okay, great. Praise God. What are you doing with your friendships? Where are you trafficking? Where are you fellowshipping? Evil fellowship corrupts good habits, godly morals. Well, I think we ought to be loving. I do too, man. But when you're around these people, some people you can't avoid, you've got to work with them. Is your motive to bring them to Jesus Christ? Are you painting a godly picture, or do they pull you down? Let me put it this way. Are you influencing them towards godliness, or are they influencing you towards complacency? I told you a while back, we got a puppy. We have a Yorkshire Terrier, and so we thought we'd get another one. And we brought this puppy into the house. And when they're puppies, you can tolerate a lot of shenanigans from these guys. But when they kind of grow up a little bit and they still act like a puppy, you know, I just want to take them out and put them in the trash can or something. Get rid of this thing. And this little dog, you got to remember, first of all, Scruffy, is our longtime dog, has got to be a born-again dog. The dog's incredible. He is so stable. He is so full of love. And he's just awesome. Well, we bring this puppy in. And like Scruffy's going, okay, cool, I guess, you know, what's the deal? And the puppy piddles on the carpet. And Scruffy's like, wait a minute, wait, I couldn't get away that stuff. What's the deal? And then the little puppy's chewing on wood. Well, I mean, what's the deal here? And this little puppy's doing all of these wicked little things in our home. And we noticed that we just got rid of the dog. Out of here. You're out. And our long-term born-again dog, you know, he's been corrupted by that guy. Now that dog's gone, that born-again dog of ours, that faithful pup, Scruff, that we've had for a long time, he's starting to act a little weird now. And now we see that evil fellowship corrupts good, godly conduct. Where are you? Who are you fellowshipping with? It makes all the difference in the world. Maybe God's speaking to you this morning. You need to break it off. You need to get away from that kind of fellowship that pulls you down. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Who are you walking with in your Christian experience? I tell you what, traffic with Christians that challenge your walk. Do that. Watch what happens. Commit yourself to people. Make friends in the fellowship that are godly people. Somebody came to me, a brother in this fellowship. He said, I really want to start praying early in the morning. And he has a ministry here. And I said, well, that's great. And he said, well, you know, can I start meeting with you? And I said, no. I said, I've got a different plan going, and I'm doing this thing, but I want you to do it. And he goes, well, you know, I don't know if I'll be faithful to it. And I said, I tell you what, you want to be faithful to it? You might want to remember this, because this has really helped me in my life. Commit yourself to somebody who's new in the Lord. Not somebody who is your buddy bud. Commit yourself to somebody who's new in the Lord, and you'll be careful to present to them Jesus and all the things that you're doing. You want to paint, that's a lot of accountability. You need to do that. Or do the other and fellowship with somebody who you esteem to be very godly and really right on. But don't get somebody who's a buddy bud, somebody that you know and I know in my life that you can just let down your guard and be a goofball. That is not going to lead you towards godliness. Now, he says there in verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter what? Some of your Bibles have the word these. That's an unfortunate translation. It should say from the latter. He's referring to false teachers. He's referring to complacent wood and clay, vessels of dishonor. Stay away from them, he says. That word cleanse is to purge or to wash out. It means to rinse until it's fresh again. Stay away. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5, and look what Paul says there. I want you to go to it because it's very heavy, and I want you to make sure that I'm not the one who's saying this, that it's Paul. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, he says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of the world. Look what he says. Or with covetous or extortioners or idolaters of the world, since then you would have to go out of the world. I mean, you'd have to quit your job, become a monk, and sit in some hilltop somewhere and not talk to anybody. Paul says there's going to be sexually immoral people that you come in contact with. There's going to be extortioners that you're going to know. But look what he says. He says in verse 11, but now I have written to you not to keep company, the word is fellowship, not to fellowship with anyone named a Christian brother who is a fornicator. Are you a fornicator this morning? Then we're not supposed to have fellowship with you. You're judging me. Don't you hear that? You're judging me. You ought not to judge. You know what? First of all, you're wrong. We are not to judge in condemnation. We are to judge in fruit inspection. And haven't you noticed that when people say, oh man, you're judging me. Have you always noticed that it's the person that's guilty?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the last few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a presentation called The Separated Soldier, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy, all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pat. Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.